Hi, I'm Kendra Corman, the host of Imperfect Marketing. If you're a solopreneur, small business owner, or marketer, you know marketing is far from a perfect science. And that's why this podcast is called Imperfect Marketing. Here you will hear from marketing experts and successful business owners about their marketing tips and, of course, their lessons learned along the way. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. I'm your host, Kendra Corman. Today, I am joined by Aaron Whitnish. He is the co-founder of ContentOnly.au, which specializes in an extraction system that creates 30 days of content in just 90 minutes for personal brands. Thank you so much for joining me today, Aaron.
Kendra, I'm so excited to be here.
It's Thanks for having early, me. By the way.
It is. It's
morning. It's really early for Aaron right now.
On our side of the
recording in the afternoon.
We're actually in the future. We're in the morning ahead of everyone in the United States. I always make that joke when I'm doing a cross-continent podcast conversation.
I should actually say yes. Happy birthday to my sister, because now that you can hear it, it is her birthday because it's tomorrow.
Oh, happy
All
birthday.
Right, so let's go ahead and just get started with how did the 30 days in 90 minutes content creation system come about?
Well, we've had an agency that's been around for 14 years, and we've done content creation as a part of the service. And it was always like pulling teeth, trying to get photos from clients, get reviews and things of that nature. And one day I had one of my clients who's a bricklayer in the construction industry, and he said to me, I really want to build up my personal profile in the industry and I want to start doing videos. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, a bricklayer with scripts and a camera trying to do content, it's probably not going to go down too well, but we're on a conversation just like this. And I was like, well, Mark's really good at telling stories, talking to me. He's very affable, has a great personality. So the idea came in that moment. I'm just going to hit record and I'm just going to start feeding you questions while we're chatting and let's see what happens. So I started asking, how did your business get started? What are some of the challenges on the journey? What are some ticks and trips that you utilize that makes your systems better? And how do you help builders minimize defects? And he just rattled off these beautiful answers like we were having a chat at a pub or a cafe. And then I hit stop record. I sent it to the editor on our team. I said, can you cut any clips that you think we could use as content from this conversation? The next day I got a Google folder back and there are about 12 clips in there. And then I said, put the company branding and the captions onto these videos. We did that. We sent it to Mark and he was blown away that we just had a spontaneous chat and recorded it and he'd got 12 videos back. And I was like, okay, I think we've actually got the solution for creating content efficiently, authentically, and organically without all the moving parts that we were getting frustrated with for so many years trying to get content for our clients. So a conversation with a bricklayer on Zoom is how it all came about.
And then if any of my clients are listening, yes, I know you too also delay in sending me approvals, reviews, and photos. I think almost every client, that's the hard thing because we need input and insights from them, yet it's hard to get, right? It's hard to pull out of them. And I think for a lot of content creators, individuals, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, it's hard to find the time to create content. So sitting down for 90 minutes isn't terrible, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the biggest challenges when it comes to creating content. What are you hearing from people other than time? Because that's always the big one, right? That they're struggling with.
Well, first of all, it's the ideas. What do I post? What do I talk about that's relevant to my target market? The next one is usually where do I put my content? Because every brand, every business has a different end client. Which social media platforms do I need to be on? What style of content do I need to be utilizing? When do I post it? So there's all these variables and moving parts. And if it's not your native lane of genius or you don't like creating content, it's almost like being a deer in the headlights. There's so many things to think about that you get overwhelmed, and in the end, you end up doing nothing because it just makes your brain go numb.
Yeah, no, and I think having energy to create content is, I'd say, like second hardest to time, because you've got to be in the right mindset to think. And I always tell my clients, you can't schedule creativity. So I'm like, I got to give my designer a week on this project because she needs to think about it and mull it over. It'll be better than if she turns it around in 5 seconds, you know, so.
To add to that too, I think when we're forcing content, it's really challenging with scripts, trying to stare down a camera, being self-conscious. I feel like a lot of people are in their heads and they put this unnatural version of themselves into the content, especially video. So having a process where it's a conversation as opposed to a script with prompters, you get someone in their natural state with their natural tonality, their natural style of talking. It's very organic, and that makes the process so much easier and so much less pressure than when it's almost a forced process for content creation.
Yeah, and you definitely don't want to be there, because without the authenticity that you bring, it just isn't going to resonate right.
Correct.
So let's talk about AI, because I love AI, and AI is a huge topic in the world of content creation. I use it to help brainstorm and draft and things like that. When I was talking about the energy needed for content creation, one of the really cool things that I like to talk about is the fact that I'm no longer exhausted when I go home because I'm leveraging AI. So talk to me about where you see AI playing a role in content creation.
I think AI is really helpful for people now because it creates efficiency, and people that found it really hard to start with content creation now can reduce the barrier to entry. There's so many capabilities, from repurposing videos to helping you write the posts in the right tonality and voice. And before AI, that was a manual process where the human had to do each of the steps. Now, if you have a human driving the AI tool, you can put inputs in where you can start with something that is original and authentic, like a video, like a voice memo that's still not duplicate content that someone else would churn out from a ChatGPT, which could be the exact same post, and take that original piece and then let the AI tools help turn that into other posts, other videos, other short form content, so you can distribute that and get leverage from that singular effort. So I see it as a great hybrid model where you can take human content and repurpose it into authentic and original content much faster than the old school way where you had to have editors, content writers involved in the process.
Okay, so there's two things that I want to stress to everybody listening. So come back here and listen for a second. There's two things that Aaron said that I think are really important. One, he referred to AI as a tool. It is a tool. It is not replacing you. It is a tool. It is not replacing anybody that works for you. Again, it is a tool. It's like your computer, like your cell phone, like your camera, your microphone, anything else in between. It is just a tool that is going to help you get things done faster and easier. And then the other thing that he said is put in your content. Educating the AI system about what you share and your thoughts and your stories and your perspective is what truly makes a difference. I think that those two points were just huge, because I present on AI all the time. I wrote a book on mastering AI and communications on how to do prompts. And that one of the biggest pushbacks I get is people are like, do you tell all your clients that you use AI? And I'm like, yes. Do you tell your boss that you use a computer and a cell phone? And they're like, what do you mean? It's different. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's another tool in your toolbox that you can use to just do things better, faster, more efficient, and get more done.
Absolutely. It's almost like a employee that you can train to work for you, and the quality of the output that you get with content really lays back to the inputs that you put in as a human driver. So if you don't put quality input into the AI machine, you'll get a very lazy output, which means your content won't be great. But if you put the time and you train it correctly, you can get a really high quality content, or have a really high quality employee, let's call it, working for you that can do things at a very high level, also at a very high quality output as well.
Last year, I was on a webinar, I was listening, and this one guest, and I can't remember who it was, and I really wish I wrote down his name because I use his quote all of the time. And that is, AI right now is like an intern with unlimited hours. You wouldn't give an intern an assignment without detailed directions. You wouldn't turn in an intern's work without reviewing it, unless you were totally and completely desperate. So think about it that way. Again, it's a tool and it's an intern because you need to educate it because it doesn't know much, even though it feels like it knows a lot, right? So just a little bit off track for just a second, though. What are your favorite AI tools, just out of curiosity?
I'll share the ones that we recommend for people that have almost no barrier to entry. So if you're repurposing video content, there's Opus Clip. I think it's opus.pro. So you can take a conversation like this, run it through Opus Pro, and it'll churn out short form video for you. And you can have branded captions, all those things on it. AI will intuitively put them onto the video for you and optimize it. So that can be a really efficient tool for repurposing video. We use rev.com for transcription. So we take a conversation like this, send the link to Rev. In 5 minutes, we get the text back, and then that can get repurposed into written posts. So they're probably two that we share openly because they're the ones that help with the 30 days in 90 minutes content creation system.
Very cool. Yes, I love. So we're recording right now in riverside.fm, and it actually does the transcription, which replaced Rev for me doing that because it's already built into what I'm paying. And then it'll do some little clips. I'm dying to try opus.pro. So I wrote it down because I'm going to check it out for sure. So let's talk about the number one tip that you give to people for creating content. Where do they start? How do they do? What's the best thing that they could do?
First of all, if you're not doing content, you've got to get on the field. You can't be a spectator because you learn as you go. So when you start creating content, it's probably not going to be the highest quality. It's like if you haven't been to the gym for 12 months and you go to pick up weights, it's not going to, you're not going to do a PB in that first session. So it's getting on the field and then getting the feedback, seeing what your audience responds to and doing more of that and less of what they don't respond to. There's a tool called VidIQ. And if you're looking for content ideas on the fly for your niche and you're kind of stuck, well, where do I start? What do I talk about? You just go take a keyword that your target audience might search on the internet, put it into VidIQ, and it'll tell you how many people are searching for hundreds of different content searches, what the competition looks like. So you'll literally have endless content ideas to just start talking about problems and solutions that your target market is actually searching for. So you're adding relevant value for them.
All right. So I've got a question because I get this question. Well, I don't know if it's a question. I get this desire expressed a lot by my clients. So I want to go viral. I'm like, yeah. What's viral mean to you? So talk to me about when people are asking, how do I go viral? Or when can I go viral?
Viral's an interesting topic because I think that going viral when you're starting out is it's never a bad thing to go viral unless it's for a negative reason. You've messed up really bad and it's made headlines. But a lot of people want that to happen really fast. But if you don't have a library of content and a present that pre-exists, there's nothing else for people to see. So in some ways, you want that to happen down the track where people can go back through your legacy content and build a really deep relationship. But I think viral is important if you're in entertainment because you need as many eyeballs as possible because you've got a general audience. But if you're using it for a business purpose, it's more about depth. You want the right person to be consuming your content and to go deep with it. So I look at it as if you're using it for a business purpose where you're looking to generate clients, don't worry about the views, worry about depth, creating content that the right person gets retained with and that holds their attention and they invest their eyeballs and that attention span into it, because that's where you're actually going to get clients from. We can all chase and use clickbait and go after viral views, but if 99.9% of those people are not in your target audience, then it's redundant, because there's nothing else that you put out in a business sense that's going to be relevant to them. So my slant is go viral, or start to get that traction when you've got the data about what performs and what doesn't into the future, because you've got this library built up. But if you're using it for business, don't chase viral, chase depth, because that's what's actually going to grow your business.
Okay. So listen to that again. Do not chase viral. It is not all about the clicks, the likes, the shares, the views, right? It's about the conversions. It's about who's going to your website, who's buying what you have to offer, who's stopping by your brick and mortar location, who's picking up the phone and calling you. That's what you have to keep in mind. And that's a thing that I think a lot of people struggle with, because they feel like they're talking to nobody. And the thing is that you're not talking to nobody. I promise, even though you might have like 5 likes on something or 2 likes on something, I think there was a post that I had 0 likes on, and I had 4 people talk to me about it at a networking event that I went to. None of them liked it, but they liked it. They just don't engage with posts on social media. Again, it just depends on who your target is. And I think that that is so, so important to notice. I love how you said that. So I think that that's really important.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, because the people that often become clients are not usually the heavy engagers. It's usually advocates that are ambassadors for your content that like and share and comment. They're not usually the ones that actually contact you and move forward. They're just people that help endorse you in that micro way online. And I always had this mindset, hey, this post is just for 1 or 2 people that need to hear this right now. I'm creating this for them. And that mindset helps me every single time I create content, because I know, hey, if I can get in front of 1 or 2 people that need to hear this right now, then it's going to have the right impact. And that shift in my thinking allows me to put the likes, the reach, and everything to the side and just keep showing up and doing great content as often as I can.
I love that shift in mindset. That is so key, so key. So again, let's go back to that for just a second. You're talking to 1 or 2 people that need to hear what you have to say. And then being that specific, make sure that you've got a authentic message that resonates with your audience, right? And is going to have a much bigger impact than something that you post that gets 10,000 likes, because that doesn't always result in business. And I think that that's really important. So very cool. Very cool. So one of the things that you mentioned, and I think everybody's getting familiar with it, but in case somebody listening or watching is new, I want to make sure we cover some of the buzzwords that you've talked about. You talked about short form content. Talk to me about what that is. So share that with our listeners. And then why is it very important on social media?
So short form content, largely thanks to TikTok, are the Reels and also the YouTube Shorts that you're seeing. And the reason why that's become mainstream is the human attention span of 8.25 seconds. That's how long we've got to get someone to stop scrolling and get them to stay with a piece of content. And because TikTok revolutionized the way the younger generations are receiving their content, all the other platforms had to evolve and adapt. So now the algorithms on just about all the social media platforms prize those Reels and those short form clips. So we have to start curating content that caters to what the platforms are going to show your target audience. So in some ways that's great, because to create a sub 60 second video is a lot easier than creating a video that's several minutes long. So it helps you get into content creation with much more ease. And most platforms allow you to take a clip, add captions onto it with their own technology. So you can record something on the spot, use their own technology to get it on the platform in short form. But it's really catering to what the platforms and what the audiences want in the current content landscape, which, hey, could change and evolve in the next 12 to 24 months as well. So it's just catering to what the scene is like at the moment.
It feels like it can change in like the next 12 to 24 hours at times, right? It just depends on what people are into at the moment. But yeah, it's attention spans have decreased. And you have to cater to that. You have to give bits of knowledge and let them determine whether or not they want to hear more from you. If they want to hear more little sound bites, they can do that. And if they want to go deeper, let them have that choice. And I think that that's really important. So what are some content marketing tools to pay attention to? Are there any in addition to the AI tools that we talked about?
Well, ChatGPT is one that everyone's familiar with, but Sora has just made the headlines in recent days. So I'd be studying that and how that evolves and gets adopted moving forward. So my take on it is find people that release the updates on key areas, so platforms and, say, AI tools, because they will show you where the puck is heading. I think it's the Wayne Gretzky analogy. It's like, don't go to where the puck is, go to where the puck's going. So you can stay ahead of which tools to be using, which trends, by following the right sources. So I'm just big on go to where the developer, like the YouTube CEO, for example, put an open letter out a few weeks ago that says exactly what YouTube is embracing and what they're looking for moving forward. So if you just follow those sources of information, you don't have to guess and go, okay, I need to be using this. You can know, okay, I need to start creating this style of content. These are the tools that I can use to do that. And you'll be one of the early adopters of that technology, which means you'll reap the rewards before anyone else does.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say, you know, part of marketing is experimenting, and staying on top of trends is a great way to experiment. I always caution people, don't spread yourself thin. Don't jump on to too many things all at once. I mean, I didn't embrace AI on day one, right? It took me a couple of months to like do some research and find out if I liked it. And that's important too. So again, you don't have to jump on everything because we don't have unlimited time, but you do have to experiment and you do have to look into things. And AI has been around for a long time, a lot longer than people really realize, because ChatGPT is like so different and new and just really made it accessible to everybody. And so I think it's just really important, I think, for everybody to find where you're comfortable with, do your research, but definitely experiment. And AI is here to stay. So get experimenting with that one for sure. I love that. And so I like, I think it's perplexity.ai, ChatGPT, the paid version, and then Claude.ai from Anthropic. Those seem to be the three that I've been migrating to for most of my content stuff, which is pretty fun. So do you have a favorite? Do you use ChatGPT to come up with ideas, to brainstorm with, to, or are you using other tools and other ways to help come up with ideas?
So I think it's important to know what your primary platform is. And I always go to search engines to get the data on what people are typing for and what content that they're looking for. So if you want a really fast, free shortcut to get content ideas that you know people are typing in and actively searching for, if you just go to Google and let's say you type in weight loss, if you scroll down, there's a people also ask section and it'll give you questions and queries that people are actively typing into Google about that. And those are the headlines and titles for your content ideas. So rather than going to ChatGPT, which is, you know, trained on a learning machine, go to sources like Search Engine or places that are platform specific. So that way, you know, hey, these are what my target audience are definitely searching for. And if I create content around these searches, I know that I'm solving the problems that they're looking to be solved, which makes you an authority in that niche.
I love that. So I always tell people, I just had a podcast boot camp not too long ago, and I was letting everybody know, if you want content ideas, go to the people also ask section of Google. And then I love Answer the Public. You only get, I think, one free search a day now, that it was bought by someone else, but answerthepublic.com. It works very similarly to People Also Ask, and it'll tell you what people are searching for, what questions you can answer, which makes content creation so much easier.
That's right. And yeah, they're all at your fingertips, and it takes seconds now to get content ideas, which is great for anyone that's willing to get on the field and start participating with content.
All right. So We've talked about a lot of things and a lot of things that I love that you brought up, because then everybody that's watching and listening on a regular basis isn't just hearing me say it. So that's always a positive thing. But Aaron, before I let you go, everything again you shared has been so insightful. The show is called Imperfect Marketing because marketing is anything but a perfect science, as you and I both know. So what has been your biggest marketing lesson learned?
For me, it's actually scaling back marketing when things are going well has been the biggest mistake. So I see a lot of clients make this fatal mistake as well. Oh, we're booked out for XYZ timeframe into the future. Let's turn off the marketing because we can't keep up with the demand. And what happens is they start creating this cyclical relationship with the marketplace. So it's feast and famine. And then they only start turning the marketing back on when they actually need the business. And I made that mistake early on in my business career. So my biggest mistake is not being accelerating when we don't need the business and we don't need the marketing to create this massive surplus in demand that we can't meet with supply. So then we can put our fees up or we can handpick who we work with and the projects that we take on. I made that mistake probably 3 or 4 times until it hit me over the head enough to go, okay, never turn off marketing, always be marketing, because the best time to market is when you don't need to be marketing.
Yes, 100%. I learned that the hard way myself. I think that all of us have, if we're in business and you own a business. So if you're starting out and you've never turned off marketing or haven't started marketing yet, just remember, commit to something that you can keep consistent with. And the reason that that consistency is so, so, so important is because it will make a difference in your marketing. It will make a difference in how you show up. It'll fill your funnel, and then therefore you'll have people waiting in the wings to work with you when you do have capacity. And I think that that is just, that's an awesome lesson to share. So thank you so much, Aaron, for sharing that. I do appreciate it. Now, for those of you listening and watching, if you learned something today, I would greatly appreciate it if you would rate and subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. If you want to connect with Aaron, we've got a link in the show notes to get in touch with him and check out his product, contentonly.au. So it should be very cool stuff if you want to check out and learn more about that. In the meantime, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time on another episode of Imperfect Marketing.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. Be sure to subscribe and visit KendraCorman.com/imperfectmarketing to view the show notes of all my podcast episodes. See you next week, same time, same place.